Good morning, everyone. We are so glad that you can join us today. I hope you are staying warm and healthy, especially after this heavy snowstorm earlier this week. And there's another one hitting us today, so we changed the recording format slightly. And I want to thank all the AV team for their hard work to put this together. Let us enter a time of confession, and I'll follow up with our congregation prayer. Dear Father, we praise you as you are the Holy One of Israel. You are surpassingly awesome, and your greatness is beyond our comprehension. But you are also willing to dwell among your unclean people, and you are close to those who are contrite and lowly in spirit. As we approach the season of Lent, we are reminded of the amazing gift through your Son. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to overcome evil and to give the ultimate sacrifice so that our sins are forgiven and now restored as citizens of your kingdom. Father, as we witnessed the Capitol siege recently, we know even our democracy is fragile. As the pandemic is still raging on, we saw how the whole humanity is also under the siege of a tiny virus. The world is broken as we still witness hatred, greed, horrible crimes, bloodshed, and the illness. This was not your original design. But ever since sin entered the world, your creation has been groaning. We thank you for the hope in Christ and the promise that we can be restored to your original perfect design. And we pray that you'll call us to bring this good news of the kingdom to our neighborhoods and beyond, so that people who live in darkness can experience the kingdom presence and relief from the weight and destruction caused by sin in this broken world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4, 31 to 44. I would like to invite you to stand and read God's word together. We'll use the ESV version. Luke chapter 4, 31 to 44. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them. It would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is Power Encounters. Now, we have witnessed the clashes of several powers recently. On January 6th, a group of violent protesters stormed into the Capitol and took over control of the Senate chamber, putting the lives of many members of Congress in danger. It was a clash of two powers, the government and those who do not agree with the election results. Eventually, the riot stopped and democracy prevailed, but it was a close call. On the other side of the globe, another two powers clashed with each other. The military power took over the control of Burma, and the democratically elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, was put under house arrest by the military, which prevailed in this coup. And one of the biggest stories in the past 12 months was the pandemic, which is still raging on. So I saw an article that did a calculation of the total weight of the coronavirus in the whole world. I don't know how accurate this estimate is, but it claims that the estimate is that it's less than 1 gram for every 2 million people infected. So regardless of how accurate the calculation is, such a tiny amount of virus was sufficient to cause many nations with mighty military powers, the most advanced science and technologies, to pause or delay major activities, including the 2020 Olympics Games in Tokyo and severe restrictions on international travels. Now, even the Super Bowl this Sunday is impacted. You can say the tiny virus won the power struggle against the whole humanity. Even today, over 26 million Americans were infected, and we lost more than 50,000 lives in the U.S. during this battle. But the power encounters I will speak about today is of a different nature. It's the clash between the power of God's kingdom and the power of Satan's kingdom, which the Bible frequently refers to as the world. The circle of disobedience that includes those who are self-centered and who deny God as their Lord. So in this broken world, we see hatred, bloodshed, sickness, and natural disasters that are devastating. It's a broken world, but that was not God's intention, not his original design. So today we're going to use this passage, Luke chapter 4, 31 to 44, to talk about power encounters in the spiritual world. And I'm going to bring up some slides. So the main idea of our passage today, Luke chapter 4, 31 to 44, is the words of Jesus carried authority and power. He heals the brokenhearted, overcomes evil in this broken world, and restores us to the perfect design in his kingdom. I have three divisions, and I use three names for God and Jesus as the three divisions, and I'll go over what these names mean. The first one is the Holy One of God, verse 31 to 37. He is holy, and he overcomes evil in power encounters. The second division is the Holy One of Israel, verse 38 to 41. He dwells among us and heals the brokenhearted. The third division is the Holy Son of God, verses 42 to 43. He came to preach the good news and gave his life on Calvary to restore us to his kingdom. These three names may sound similar, but they actually all have their implications and meanings, and we'll get to that later. Okay, so before we look at today's passage, I want to quickly review the context in Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4 up to this point. Now remember that in chapter 3, Jesus was baptized. At that time, God confirmed that Jesus was his beloved son and the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. In chapter 4, he was led to the wilderness and he faced the temptations of Satan, but he did not fail the test and he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Then in chapter 4, 14 to 30, right before today's passage, we saw that Jesus declared who he is in the synagogue of Nazareth. Now, since he claimed that he is the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 61, and he claimed that the year of the Lord's favor had arrived, he was essentially claiming that he is the Messiah. So, God confirmed who Jesus was, and Jesus claimed who he is, and now his ministry is unfolding. He left the town of Nazareth and went to this town called Capernaum. Capernaum is a small town in the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. It is sometimes called Jesus' own city because Jesus lived there for a while after he left Nazareth. So now Jesus was speaking in the synagogue of Capernaum, and people were astonished that his words carry authority, unlike the scribes or other teachers. So what does that mean? So typically the rabbis may be quoting one another. Rabbi A may be quoting Rabbi B and saying, Rabbi B says so and so. But Jesus proclaimed the truth directly with authority. He didn't have to quote other people except the scriptures. And what happened next was even more astonishing. There was this man in the synagogue with the spirit of unclean demon. What's surprising is that this demon not only recognized Jesus of Nazareth, he called him the Holy One of God. And that's our first division, the Holy One of God, which means that Jesus is holy like God, pure without sin. And that basically says that Jesus is equal to God, the Holy One. Now, the power of demon could not overcome Jesus because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy One, Jesus, basically consumes anything that is unholy. Darkness or demons are afraid of holiness. Just like when you move a big rock, you may see some insects that will crawl away rapidly, trying to avoid the sunlight. It's light against darkness. So Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." Jesus told the demon to be silent because he doesn't want the demon to be his spokesperson, even though the demon could recognize Jesus as the Holy One of God. Jesus has his own timing and his ways of unfolding his ministry. The demon did his last act to throw the man down, but was unable to harm him, and then he came out. So this is what I called a power encounter. And what is a power encounter? We need to step back and look at the big picture. So I'm going to bring up the slides again. So I want you to imagine two circles. The first circle is the kingdom of God. Inside this circle, everything is under God's rule, under God's control. So I call it also the circle of obedience. In here, it has God's perfect design. The creations, the nature, everything God created. If it's under God's perfect design and under God's rule, we call it a circle of obedience. It's the kingdom of God. On the other side, we have a broken wall, a black circle. And, you know, there's like a crack in the bottom. And I call this kingdom of Satan, because this is a circle of disobedience. You know, sometimes we get confused. We say that we should not follow the world. But why do we sometimes also, in John 3:16, we'll say God loves the world. Basically says that even though we are disobedient to God, God still loves us. And we're going to see a solution today. Actually, the whole sermon today is a gospel presentation. And I would like everyone in the English congregation one day to be able to also present the gospel whenever an opportunity is presented to us. Okay, so at the end, we're actually going to go through a three-circle presentation on gospel. Anyway, so for now, let's just focus on this two. There's a kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of Satan. So what we just witnessed in this passage is Jesus representing kingdom of God is entering into the space of kingdom of Satan, and he overcame the evil. So Jesus is victorious when it comes to power encounters. The broken wall of the kingdom of Satan cannot overcome Jesus. So when he stepped his foot into any place into the broken wall, there will be kingdom presence. And we need to know that to understand the whole passage today and almost the whole gospel. All right, so these are the two circles. Now, one thing we have to think about is you can also consider the first circle as heaven and the second circle as the earth. In the beginning, these two circles were together because God and Adam and Eve, they could see each other face to face. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they're all in the kingdom of God and they were innocent. But when the sin entered the world, as we saw in this picture, Adam and Eve had to be kicked out and basically enter the circle of disobedience. Now, we know that God has always been seeking the lost. But he is holy, and he consumes darkness. So what do we do if God still wants to be among his people? And this comes to the second picture. A second picture is God actually provided a way. He, even in the beginning, he provided a way so that there's still some way for the broken world to experience the kingdom presence. So how did he do that? In the beginning, there was the Garden of Eden, right? That was the intersection of heaven and earth when Adam and Eve all had an intimate relationship with God. But later on, they sinned. And later, God called Abraham out, and from the offspring of Abraham, he was going to reestablish God's people. But because even people of Israel were sinners, so what God did was to provide a way for them to approach him, for God to still dwell among them. And that was the introduction of tabernacle and all the sacrifices that you read in Leviticus, Numbers, or Exodus. So tabernacle was there as a way to allow people of God who are sinners to approach him. And then later on, after the Israelites conquered the land of Canaan, the King Solomon built a temple. But that's still the same thing. You have to offer sacrifices in order to approach the holy God. But when Christ came, everything changed. And Christ is fully man and he is fully man and fully God. So he is like the intersection of heaven and earth. He is the bridge between God and the simple people. And also like Jacob's ladder, right? So when Christ gave his life, a person who is perfect without sin, to die for us, he basically created this space in this broken world that has kingdom presence. And not only that, he wants his followers, which is the body of Christ, to continue to expand on this kingdom presence. And he also gave the promise that at the end, we will all be united in New Jerusalem. And that's when the whole world will be under God's rule in this perfect kingdom. So I want to bring up this this picture. It's, the whole Bible is really just one narrative about his redemptive story. So we need to know, understand this to look at this passage. So basically, it's the invasion of God's kingdom in the broken world because Christ wants to bring the healing. He wants to drive out demons. He wants to feed the poor. He wants to bring kingdom presence into this broken world. All right, so we talk about the fact that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Next, we want to talk about the fact that he is also the Holy One of Israel. But before we do that, I also want to mention that there are other power encounters in the Old Testament. For example, if you look at Exodus chapter 10 to 12, you see how God used the hands of Moses in the 10 plagues to defeat Pharaoh. And actually, it's not just to defeat Pharaoh, to defeat all the idols in Egypt. And then in 1 Kings 18, we saw how Elijah, the prophet, was used by God to prove that those false prophets did not have any power. So those were two of several power encounters in the Old Testament, and there are also some in the book of Daniel. So God used power encounters to reveal who the true God is and to abolish idol worship and to restore his kingdom presence in a fallen world, a broken world. All right, so that's the first section. He is the Holy One of God. The second section, we enter verses 38 to 41. I want to talk about the Holy One of Israel. Now, you might think, what's the difference between Holy One of God and Holy One of Israel? In the book of Isaiah, the Holy One of Israel, this phrase was used 25 times. What does that mean? What it means is that, yes, God is exalted high above us, but he is also willing to dwell among his people of Israel who are unclean. So how do you solve this problem? As we just talked about, the way to solve this problem is through Jesus the Son. And we'll talk more about this in the third section. But the key point here is when we say the Holy One of God, our focus is on his holiness, his purity. It's one of a kind. It's no one like him. But when we talk about the Holy One of Israel, we mean that this God who is high above us is actually willing to come down, just like Jesus came down to be among his people. In the past, that was only possible through the tabernacle, the temple. But when Christ came, he opened up the door for anyone who believes him to become the children of God, to have this close relationship. So when we say the Holy One of Israel, it means that God is willing to come among his people, to dwell among his people. Just like the time when he used the tabernacle and temple to dwell among his people of Israel. But in verses 38 to 41, why do I use this title? We see that Jesus' ministry is now expanding to many. And before this expansion, the gospel writer, actually both in all three, the first three books, Book of Matthew, Book of Mark, and Book of Luke, the gospel writer reported a special episode when Jesus went to visit Peter's mother-in-law, who had a high fever. Now, some people thought this was not that important. Why was this recorded? Actually, in all three books. And what happened was Jesus rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve Jesus and others. Now, two things are remarkable here. Even the fever listened to Jesus. We see the pattern. Jesus rebuked, and then it left. In verse 35, we saw that he rebuked the demon, then he left. And in verse 39, we saw that he rebuked the fever, and it left. And later in 41, we'll see that Jesus also rebuked other demons, and then they left. In other words, he is always victorious in the power encounters with the evil force. First the demon, now the fever, and later we're also going to see that Jesus will rebuke the storm, and he calmed down the storm. So he is truly the Lord over all creations. What I want to ask you is, what should be the proper response of people when they witness such power encounters? I want you to remember that the demons could recognize Jesus as the Holy One of God, and later on, even the Son of God. But knowing the fact doesn't help you. If you are not obedient to God, just knowing that Jesus is the Lord, he's the Son of God, doesn't help you. You will still be in a broken world. The only way is to be obedient to this law. You want to pledge your allegiance to this true God. Now that you see all the idols are useless, right? And so that's the proper response. And that's exactly what we see in Peter's mother-in-law. Remarkably, as soon as she was cured by Jesus, she started serving Jesus. She's recognized Jesus as her Lord. And this reminds me of a story which I witnessed personally. So I had a friend whose mother became very ill. And when she was very sick, some people suggested to her, why don't you go see a monk from Tibet? Who claimed to know some secret practices of healing. So after she took the advice and she saw the monk from Tibet, she actually felt better initially, but then she started having nightmares, horrible nightmares every evening. And this lasted for many weeks. And that was the time when I visited my friend. And I personally witnessed how extremely exhausted she was, and she could not function at all. And later on, fortunately, my friend's sister, it's God's blessing that my friend's sister is also a Christian, and she took my friend's mother to a church in Maryland. And the pastor there prayed over her. And then, I guess whatever was unclean inside her was gone after the prayer. So 2 years ago, when I visited the Bread of Life Church in Taipei, I saw both my friend and his mom. And she was serving in that church joyfully. And the change was just remarkable. Now, since it was the Sabbath day, I want to come back to this passage. Many waited until sunset to bring those who were sick with various diseases to Jesus. Now you see that Jesus, that is why I use this this phrase that Isaiah used. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the one that is willing to be among his people. He was compassionate, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and even on some lepers, and he healed them. So again, demons came out of many, some crying, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus also rebuked them, because again, he didn't want the demons to be his to handle his PR or to be his spokesperson. He has his timing. These demons also recognize Jesus. But once again, having that knowledge is not sufficient. Peter's mother-in-law and also my friend's mother knew exactly what they should do after they witnessed the power encounters. And they decided to serve him, Jesus, the true Lord. So now we come to the third point. The Holy Son of God. What was the mission of Jesus when he came to this world? Now in verses 42 to 44, we see that Jesus went to a desolate place to pray. This is important after heavy ministry work. And he always needed this quiet time with God. And also, this is before he called his disciples in chapter 5. So this prayer time was very important. So we see that Jesus is one that has an intimate relationship with our Father. Now we know that people really wanted to keep Jesus because they saw his authority and power. They wanted him to do more things for them. But Jesus knew clearly that his mission was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, as he was sent for this purpose. And we all know that the core content of the gospel includes his death on Calvary and resurrection with an empty tomb, which is what we're going to ponder on as the Lent season is approaching. So how do we respond to today's message? After seeing that the words of Jesus carry power and authority, not only that, he was compassionate and he gave his life for many. Jesus said that he was sent by Father to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And in John 20:21, he also said the following. And want to go to the next slide. What is the application? In John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And Jesus basically saying that the Father sent me to preach the good news of the kingdom, so I am also sending you to preach the good news. And some of us might say, "Well, I actually don't know how to share the gospel." And this is why I want to use the remaining time to show you a 3-minute gospel presentation. Now, you can use other ways to present the gospel, and everyone has his own way. But if you say that I don't know how to present the gospel, I want to use this one as a starting point. And hopefully one day, everyone in the English congregation, when given an opportunity, will be able to present the gospel clearly and concisely. Okay, so if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, I'll invite you to follow me, and you can draw the circles as we go through these three circles. 3-minute gospel presentation. And you can also find it on YouTube easily if you keep the keywords. So we know that our life is broken. We live a broken world, right? And this is when you would draw this black circle. And you can see there's a crack in the bottom. You see there's hatred, there's bloodshed, there's illness. It's just not a perfect world, it's broken. And we have greed, we fall into temptations. But that was not God's original design. The original design was a perfect design. And not only that, there was no death. And that's the yellow circle here. So this is the time when you want to draw this circle. But because sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve decide to disobey God, the sin entered the world. So they enter into this circle of disobedience. But as we talk about today, God is the Holy One of Israel. He wants to dwell among his people. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. So his solution is to send his son. And his son came with a mission, not only to preach the gospel, but also to give his life. So this is time you can show that Christ came from heaven to come to the world. And so this is the arrow going down. And he died on the cross. The sinless died for us sinners to take away our sins. So his righteousness becomes our righteousness. 3 days later, he was resurrected. That means he conquered not only the evil one, he also conquered the death. And because our life is united with Jesus, so now all we have to do is to turn away from our old disobedience and to follow Jesus. You turn and then you follow. And remember that God also gave us the Holy Spirit. So we are now going to fight a temptation with our own flesh. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will be inside us, just like when he filled Jesus with the Holy Spirit. When we turn and follow, Jesus promised that we will grow. We walk with him, then we'll grow. And now we're part of God's perfect design. We become citizens of God's kingdom in this yellow circle. But that's not the end of the story. Once we receive the mercy and grace from God, God will send us out, as we learn from John 20:21. As the Father has sent Jesus, he also is sending us. So we will go back to the broken world. Whatever job you have, whatever place you are at, you bring this gospel message to those who still live in darkness so that they could see the light. Okay, so this is a very simple 3-minute gospel presentation. It's not perfect. You can modify it in any way you like. By the way, I practiced this with Edwin, and I hear the very good suggestion. And you know, Easter is coming, and so for a lot of seekers, even though they don't know, they are not Christians, they know Christmas, they know Easter, so we can start by asking them, do you know why we celebrate Christmas and Easter, and what's the difference? So you can start with different ways, but I want to encourage everybody to at least be ready to share the gospel whenever you can, using a method that you are most comfortable with. And that will be the application for today's sermon. Okay, let me stop sharing of the slides. So let me summarize today's main idea. The main idea is the words of Jesus carry authority and power. He came to dwell among his people. He healed the brokenhearted. He overcame evil in this broken world. and he restored us to the perfect design in his kingdom, and he gave us hope. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you gave us your precious Son. He's the Holy One of God, and he's the Holy One of Israel, and he's the Holy Son of God. He came carrying authority and power in his words. He healed the brokenhearted, he overcame evil, and he gave us hope, and he restored us in this to your perfect design in your kingdom. We thank you for that hope and assurance we now have because of the salvation that you offer to us through this amazing gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.